Today we are talking about Pentecost. And as Pastor Renee had shared this morning, we are Pentecostal people. This is an Assemblies of God church. And in so, we believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. For today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your most holy word this morning, God, and your desire and your heart for your people this morning. So, God, I pray, Lord, that between the things that I share and what Pastor Renee shares this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that there is a hunger and a thirst for more of you. And that, God, that this would be a transforming day. In the name of Jesus, amen. I would like to begin with reading Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If you ran out of your house this morning and didn't bring your Bible, we have a couple on the table next to the door. They are available to you to use this morning. So after Easter and after Jesus had been resurrected and after his ministry, and Luke had reported in his first book, in the Gospel of Luke, he continues on in the book of Acts right here in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So then when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. So that last verse says, it says, you will receive power. You guys seem very far away. Can I tell you seem very far away? I'm going to come up here. It's all right. I just like to be a little closer, a little more personal. It says, you will. Right? That's the promise. You will receive power. It's not a maybe. You can. You may. You will receive power. And this power in the Greek is dunamis. It's not a power like an electric. Well, I guess it could be like electric power. But it's a power that is at work or in action. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's way of releasing the power of the Holy Spirit into the Christian's life, into your life. It's a releasing in and through you. Now, I want to go on. Acts 2. We're going to verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It says in other translations, they were in one accord. There was unity amongst them. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now jump over to verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose." Must have been quite a cacophony of sound, right, for people to be thinking these people have been drinking very early in the morning. "It's only 9 in the morning." No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Hallelujah. So the baptism in the Spirit is a gift that God wants us to have, right? You will receive power. It's a promise that he made. Jesus said it's the promise of the Father. If we go back to his former gospel, Luke writes in chapter 11, verse 13, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" It's a gift. It's a promise of the Father. It is intended for all who have accepted Christ's forgiveness and entrusted their lives to them. It's intended for all of us who believe. If you are born again, that means that God's Spirit lives within you, right? It's transforming your life already, bringing us from glory to glory to glory. Now, I want to say that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a sign of spiritual maturity necessarily. You can be a brand new believer and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with that. God is no respecter of persons. It is a life and a vessel that is yielded unto him. That's it. It's a seeking and in faith and a yieldedness of your spirit. Maturity is revealed in the fruits of the Spirit, and I'll go over that. That's Galatians 5:22 through 24. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's in crucifying the flesh and being yielded to the Holy Spirit that the fruits of the Spirit begin to be revealed in our lives. It is not the same thing. Receiving the Spirit at the point of salvation is not the same thing as baptism. So let me give you again another gospel story. John chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He was giving them new life spiritually by breathing on them. But later he told them that they must also be clothed with power by the Holy Spirit. So in that story, you can see that there's two separate events. One is a salvation event where we receive the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. The second one is an empowering. So this was a story from the disciples, yes? They're with Jesus. He breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. So we want to know, is that normative, right? So there's people that believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, ended with the apostles. Okay? In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they already believed, yes? The Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in them. And then John and Peter go and they pray that they receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. A second event. And I'm going to tell you that this is for us today, all right? The Assemblies of God is a 100-year-old fellowship. So in the big, broad scheme of things, right, when we have the Orthodox churches and the Catholic Church, my goodness, that's from the get-go. But then we have the Methodists, hundreds of years. You know, there's a lot of different groups out there that have been established for hundreds of years. Well, the Pentecostals, the Assemblies of God, is only 100 years old. As a matter of fact, this year is the centennial of the Assemblies of God. And it started by people seeking through the Scriptures what God would have for them today. And they realized that in the Scriptures, in the book of Acts, there was this whole level of experience that they had not had. And so they sought after it. And in the seeking after it, they realized that God wanted to pour his Spirit out again. A person can be born again or saved spiritually. The Holy Spirit lives within them, but still not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's okay. We can live a life of service and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can grow in spiritual maturity and still not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there is an empowerment that comes. The analogy that I like to use is a container. If you thought of, if I had a big jar, I have a jar in my hand. Do you see it? And if I had a pitcher of water and I wanted to pour my pitcher of water into my jar and fill it to the absolute top with clear, crystal clean spring water, that is salvation. That God comes in and takes our vessels and cleans them up and pours beautiful, clean, crystal clear water into them to the very, very tip. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is like God continually pouring that water over the top so that it flows out and flows out and flows out and keeps flowing out. It's a constantly filling and flowing through of that crystal clear water. Our primary purpose for being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a personal boldness and power in your life so that you can accomplish the plans and purposes that God has for you with authority. I love how Cameron had talked about being bold. She said, you know, it really takes just getting outside of yourself. It's a boldness. It is a boldness, and that boldness comes, and that strength comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? I'm looking at you because as a little girl, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She came up to me and said, Mom, can I tell you something? And I believe that that empowered her to be bold on the streets, you know? When we are called to plant a church here, we're called to be bold. It's not always easy to invite people to church. It's not always easy to say, hey, we got something new coming on. It's not always easy to say, I've got this great thing going on, this spiritual, this prayer challenge, and I want to invite you to be a part of it. But that comes from seeking after God, but it comes easier with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the early church, this included the power to drive out demons and the anointing to heal the sick. When we pray with people now, we pray because in God's word it says, by his stripes they are healed. We believe that there is healing provided in the atonement, that there is a driving out of demons that we can have the power to do under the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there's people that do not believe in the healing? Spiritual healing that can happen? That to me is sad. But we have such a great inheritance in the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal tradition to believe that we can be healed, that we can pray for people and they will be healed. Yes, Steve Slocum, we have witnessed amazing things just praying for people in faith. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit witnesses to the believer that God's doing something. And it witnesses through the believer. We need it. As we shared in the chapter of Acts 2, and you'll probably duplicate my story too, but Peter, man, he was the guy that denied Christ. But when baptized with the Holy Spirit, he stands in front of thousands of people, those that had crucified Christ, and said, you guys out there that did this thing, let me tell you what you did. But he was resurrected. He is alive. And he shared the gospel in power. And it says that 3,000 people were saved. Now that's an empowered word, amen? And it's only come through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. It was much less. There was no free flowing of the gifts. Let's just put it that way, okay? It was very cognitive. Most of it was all up here, which is good. We need to know our word. We need to know what we believe. There's nothing wrong with that. But there was a certain kind of removal of anything that looked like it might be emotionalism. And sometimes when the Spirit gets going, there's emotions that happen. And so I grew up in a church, and I never even understood the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is what happened with these first people in the Assemblies of God. They were raised in traditions where that wasn't taught until they sought the scriptures themselves. And so when I came into the Assemblies of God, now I've only been in the Assemblies since 2005, so 9 years now. I didn't know what I was watching. I didn't know what I was experiencing. I didn't know what was going on around me. But I was just game to go around, to go along, because I felt like there was something there. I recognized that there was something there, even though I didn't understand what was going on. And one of the things was speaking in tongues. And I was a doubter. Not only a doubter, but a negative doubter. And I always said, that's not real. That's not real. I don't know what they're talking about. And I believe that the book of Acts said that they spoke in tongues, as the Spirit enabled, in languages that other people recognize. And I said, it's only because they enabled, you know, the Spirit enabled them to speak languages that people knew, and that was it. That was the end of it. I never really sought the scriptures where it said that they spoke in other tongues, or where Paul says, in the tongues of angels. And so I was a doubter. I was a negative doubter. And then I experienced something. It was just like last week. You know, Pastor Renee doesn't feel comfortable doing what God calls her to do sometimes, which is speaking in tongues and giving an interpretation. But I experienced that in the same way with you. And at that moment, I knew in my spirit that that was real. And I was forever changed. And it was at that point that I said, well, I want that. I don't know what that is, and I don't know what it's going to mean to my life, but I want that. And so we would have different evangelists come through, and there would be like altar time, you know, and they'd be praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that made me really uncomfortable, because normally I was the person up there leading worship, and they'd come over and pray over me in front of people, and I didn't want anybody to watch. And so something in my spirit just fought it in that situation. And I'm telling you the story because we will have altar time later. If you want to come and receive and be prayed for, yes. But you don't have to do that to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. For me, I was a Wednesday night service, very kind of lightly attended. There was a simple worship time with somebody on the piano leading a song, and I began to sing my praises to God at the end of the service. In the back corner, like behind where you're sitting, Sue, over there in the very back of the church. And I just sat there by myself and sang, and God began to fill my mouth with another language as I was singing. And I was so surprised. But it was something that I sought after and prayed for and earnestly wanted. But it was in a way that God, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And God knows you. God was never going to do that, or I wasn't going to allow it to happen, you know, in a situation that made me feel uncomfortable. I don't like to be in front of people. I don't like to be a show-off in front of people. It makes me uncomfortable. And so that was just something. It was just me by myself. Nobody knew. And I went home praying in tongues on my way home going, oh, my gosh, I didn't even tell anybody. I just was so excited. So it's okay. If you doubt, it's okay. You know, if you don't want to show, that's okay. I know Diane Repaul has a great story where a couple of years ago, she was serving in kids ministry, just like today. She's probably down there right now. And on Pentecost Sunday, when people were being prayed for to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, she received down in kids church. She wasn't even in the sanctuary, but she was down serving the kids and began to speak in other tongues because she was a yielded vessel. So I just want to encourage you. It's biblical, it's exciting, and your life will never be the same. And with that, I want to bring up Pastor Renee to close the message.
I'm excited. I don't know about you, but today is your day. Do you know that? I know that some of you have been seeking. Some of you I've been talking to, and I've been saying, keep hungering, keep thirsting. The Bible says if you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. Amen? And so we're excited today. We're not just preaching about this for you to have some head knowledge. We're preaching about this for you to have some experience. You know, salvation is a gift. It's freely given. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is another gift. The Bible says to seek the gifts. And not only the gifts, but the giver. So how many of you want more of God? All that he has, yes. I mean, it's not a requirement for heaven. It's not, you know, to just make sure we get in the gates and we made it in. Yes, that is an important thing. But in order to do the work that God's called us to, I feel very loud with this. Is it loud? No? Okay. We need the power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we need that power, like Cameron talked about, to be a witness. So I'm going to just go back over a couple of the scriptures. So the first thing I want to say is, why do we need the power? We need it for boldness. And Peter, we know when Christ was approaching the cross that they were out there looking for who are the followers. And a young peasant girl said to Peter, aren't you one of the ones? And he was so afraid. Now, he was a man who traveled with Jesus, walked, talked, saw the miracles, said he loved him, he'll never deny him. And this small little woman says, aren't you one of those? And he denies him. He didn't have a sword to him. He didn't have anything to threaten him but his own fear. He didn't have any boldness in his life. But then we read after the outpouring of the Spirit in the book of Acts, when they were gathered in the upper room, Peter, the one who denied Christ, preaches to a crowd and 3,000 are saved. That's the same Peter that not long before, 40 days before Pentecost, you know, when Christ, when he was approaching the cross, was too afraid to acknowledge his Lord and Savior after all that he had done, then had the boldness to preach repentance. So that's why we need the power for boldness. It's also missional. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I had to write a paper on the baptism, and is it a second work? Is it for today? Is it not? And it's theological stuff. And it was really interesting to read it and see why people take different positions. Why do some people believe it's just for then, and why do some people believe that it's for today? I don't know about you, but I believe the scripture that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And the things that he did then, he can do now. And there was healings in the Bible then, and there are healings now. Sherry's here with us. There's healings that still take place today. So if he did it then, and it was for the disciples, and the disciples were to bring the gospel, then it's for today. Amen? And God is still doing it. And I'm just like, can't wait to get to some parts of this. So I want to talk about how when we get saved, when we come to know the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit's presence in us, right? Because that's what tells us what's right and wrong. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Little conviction that comes as we become a Christian, whereas before we did what we want in our own sight and it didn't really bother us. But once we became a Christian, now the things we used to do, we don't do, because now there's something inside that's saying, I don't think this feels right anymore. And so that's the Holy Spirit that comes to convict us and to help guide us and to show us and to point out truth to us. So 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, For we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So that's talking about, like what Pastor Debbie said, upon salvation. But that is for us, right? When we get saved for us. It's our salvation experience. It's our gift that we received. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's no longer about us. It becomes about others. It becomes the boldness to be filled with his Spirit, to overflowing, to evangelize and do the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because it says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I had to write a whole paper on just that part. And the thing is in Jerusalem, that was where Jesus wasn't even received. And then in Judea and Samaria, there was crossing these different religious lines that people just didn't cross. And so he says all those places to say that it's not going to be a respecter of persons just for the Jews or just for the Gentiles. It's going to go and spread to all races, all colors, all religious barriers. It's going to spread. So having the baptism of the Holy Spirit now within us is going to empower us to witness at work, with our family. People are going to notice something's different. No longer is this just for you, because now you have something that you have to tell. I have to share. And I have to tell you, and I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to put it in here right now. I was 12 years old, grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor. You know, you'd think that it was just kind of common. But you have those different stages of enlightening when you're a kid, and all of a sudden things kind of make sense to you. So when I was 7, it made sense that I raised my hand in VBS to get saved, and I came home and told my parents, and I didn't think they were saved, even though they were the pastor. But because it was a new experience for me, I just wanted to tell them. And then they were like, oh yeah, that's what we've been saying. But it just kind of had that, you know, age of understanding. You know, I came to an understanding of what it all made sense. And then when I was 12 at a youth camp, they were praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we are going to pray for you today, just so that you can keep that in your heart and in your mind. Today could be your day for receiving. So when I was there as a 12-year-old, I remember them, you know, laying on of hands, and I'm going to talk about why that's important. But people were receiving, like all my friends, and I'd be like, how come it's not happening to me? And I couldn't get it in my head. I'm like, am I just going to start talking funny? What's going to happen? How's it going to sound? You know, but people that were receiving were just like so full of joy, and they were excited, and then it just made me want it more. I'm like, so I'd go up to the altar, pray, nothing, come back, sit down, go back up to the altar, and this is in one night. And then I remember at one point I was just so determined. I'm like, I am not leaving here until I receive. Just like when the disciples were called into the upper room, Jesus said to them to tarry and wait. Hurry up and wait. Nobody wants to wait, right? Okay, we got to be somewhere, we got to go somewhere, we got something to do. But that's how they received. They followed what Jesus said, and he said, tarry, wait until you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So at one point, I just was like, I'm not leaving here. And I started to pray, and I had someone came over and prayed with me, and it was like, the power of God just came on me, and I remember it just kind of came out of me, and you know, and I couldn't stop it. It was just like, you know, Pastor Debbie said, it was overflowing, and it was like it just kept being poured out, and it just kept flowing out. And I remember running from the tabernacle at the campground to my room, and I just remember running and getting in my bed and just laying there like, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened. This is so awesome. And I used to get so aggravated because everyone would talk at night, and I used to want to go to bed and go to sleep, and we were tired, and we'd had a busy day. But I remember that night specifically being so filled with the Spirit that it didn't even bother me. I just went right to sleep. But I was just so excited and couldn't wait to see what God would do. I was excited that I had received this wonderful gift, and it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, another reason why we need the baptism, besides it for us, for boldness, for others, because of the Great Commission, but praying the perfect will of God. Romans 8:26 and 27 says that when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying the perfect will of God. Have you ever wondered what to pray for when you go to pray? You have your kind of wish list. God, I need this, I need that. Pray for this one, for that one. This one's sick. I've got all these people. And it's kind of like a wish list, or, you know, a list of things. And it's good to pray for those things. But have you ever felt like, I just don't know what to pray? Or maybe you're just in a circumstance and you're just like, I don't even feel like I can pray. I don't even feel like there are words to pray. How do I pray? So Romans 8:26 and 27, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I don't know. I'm going through something right now. I don't know what God's plan is. I want him to just take like one of those planes that says, you know, fish and chips for $5.99. I want it to say, it's time for you to leave hospice now. I really do. I'm just praying. I'm praying for some kind of big miracle to happen that I'm going to know. But if I were to pray my prayer, I'd be like, oh God, help me to be done with it, you know, and in my own self, I'd say, help me to be done with this and provide and this and that. But I have to know that when I don't know how to pray, I can pray in a heavenly language, that I'm praying the direct will of God for my life, for the situation, And I don't know about you, but praying the direct will of God is always the best thing, right? Because we do not know the future. God holds the future. But we can pray and intercede in the Spirit. So that's another reason. How do we receive? It involves praise. Acts 2:11. It talks about how they were gathered together, and when they started to speak in tongues, they were all gathered for a festival, all these different people with different languages. And as they began to speak in other tongues, people recognized their own dialect. Now, how awesome is that? They could hear them praying in a language that they knew, and they weren't even from that part of the country. That's miraculous. I grew up hearing a story, and I've heard it multiple times, about how an American went to another country and felt that God was calling and just said, I'm just going to go out there and be in that country. And when they got and they went to the service, and I believe it was in some African remote village, and they went to a service and just sat in the service, and someone gave a message in tongues. And do you know what the message in tongues was? English. And it said that he had called them there. And that was his confirmation that he... Now, that's the miraculous. That's how God works. Do you know that English is a tongue? In other countries, if they don't speak English and God gives that English language, that's speaking in tongues. You know, I've heard people speak in tongues. Some sound like they're Chinese. Some sound like some Spanish. Some sound... I don't know what they are. Maybe it's just a language that God puts together. But it starts out with something very, very simple. Sometimes some people say, oh, I've got like one word, or I got like a beginning, or I felt like something was coming on, but it didn't really flow into a language. I just encourage you, if that was you, to just allow it to continue to flow out of you. As you feel it coming up within you, to allow it to flow out. But it involves praise. We're not to seek just the gift, but to seek the giver of the gift. Amen? We seek the giver of the gift. We fill our hearts with praise and gratitude, and he knows what we're seeking, and he wants to bless us. You know that scripture that says, you know, the Father who knows how to give good gifts, why would he withhold his gift from us? He has this for us, and sometimes it's just so hard to get past the, okay, God has it for me, I need to receive it, how do I get it? But once you receive it, you're like, oh, that was easy. And then it's just there. It's there for you to continue to use. And God isn't a respecter of persons. Well, how come this one received? How come that one didn't receive? Well, if you don't receive today and you are hoping to receive, then just continue when you're at home praying for it. Pray in the shower. Pray in the car. Who knows when God's going to fill you with the Spirit, you know? One of my girls was filled with the Spirit. We were in Connecticut. It was 2 years ago. And the pastor just preached the Apostles' Creed, and it was about the Holy Spirit. And they had all these people go forward, and people were getting prayed for. And she was just standing in the seat with us, and I remember she says, Mom, I just got the baptism. I'm like, right here in your own pew, you know? Wasn't like my experience. But God knows you, and I know that with Pastor Debbie, she was afraid of that. But I'm not going to say that we're not going to do that, because we are going to do that today. We are going to lay hands on, because there's another part of the scripture in Acts 19:6, and I don't want to read it all for lack of time. I want to have prayer. But it talks about how they laid hands, and as they laid hands on them, people were filled. Okay? So we believe in the laying on of hands for healing and for being filled with the Spirit, that those that have received the gift of the Spirit pray in the Spirit. And as we corporately pray, we believe that God will fill others with the baptism. It involves waiting, like I said. It involves expectancy. When they were told to gather in the upper room, they didn't go up there and say, well, we're just going to hang out. We're just going to see what happens. No, they came saying, remember, the person that they loved and were with was now gone. And he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Go and wait and tarry. Of course they wanted to get there and wait. The person that they loved the most was taken from them. They needed a comforter. They needed to do the work that he did. They needed to go and make more disciples. Jesus had the power. You know, I was reading one theologian's take on, you know, did Jesus receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, he's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in one. So did he speak in tongues? And it was very interesting. But they believed that when he was baptized in water, that as the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't need the Holy Spirit because he was it all, right? But that he was leaving earth. And there needed to be someone that was left to continue to do the work that he did. Because Jesus said to the disciples, greater things than these shall you do. Well, if they didn't have him walking around and laying on hands, and then the disciples, well, they're just a few, and they had to spread the gospel, the Great Commission, to the uttermost parts of the earth, how would 12 people do it? But that the Holy Spirit would baptize them, that would go out from them, and then that wherever they went, people would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to jump ahead because this is, like, so hard. This is so hard to do. How long have I been? Okay. This morning, so now we've got this happening in the Bible. So here we are in the United States of America. And God is still doing it today. And some people go, well, it's emotionalism. It's not really, that's not really, that was just used as an example in the Bible. But if you, I challenge you to go home and Google this online because I did this morning. I was up at 4:30. And I researched when Pentecost came to America. And it was in 1906 that there was an outpouring on Azusa Street. Yeah, and my grandparents were born in 1898. So my grandparents were Pentecostal. And I remember them talking about how they remember when Pentecost came. And I thought that was really cool. They remember hearing about when Pentecost came. So when I researched it today, this morning, they had preserved some recordings of a couple that were in the Azusa Street revival. And so what happened in Azusa Street was that William Seymour was a preacher, and he was a son of a slave, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and brought this into this on Azusa Street in California. He came and started this work in this, like, building that, when I was reading about this morning, that it used to be a stable, just like how Jesus came in a stable. I thought that was really cool, how that the Holy Spirit's presence was going to be poured out in a place, just like in Pentecost, right? It was poured out in a place. The Bible says that it came like fire and wind, right? Two things that really we can't control a lot of. We've seen them try to control fires in California. They have a hard time controlling them. We see wind. You can't control wind, where wind comes and where wind goes, or when there's a tornado, why it hits in one spot and not the other. Same with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It chose to pour out His Spirit on Azusa Street. Now, there's so much good information there that I don't have the time to tell you about, and I know that Sue knows a lot about the Azusa Street outpouring, but people came there and they started hearing about Pentecost and they started being filled with the Holy Spirit. But what came with that was not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but miracles and prophecies. And people came there and they were healed. People couldn't walk. This woman that they interviewed this morning, she was deaf as a child. She could never hear. And here she is talking and said she was healed and she could hear from that day on. And they said they gathered together and they sang songs and they prayed and they stayed there and they prayed and people just were filled. That was a great awakening. It happened right after a big earthquake that happened out in California. Now, I encourage you to read about that. It's exciting. Now, that happened in 1906 and still today it continues on, the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw a big revival that happened down in Pensacola. I don't know, were you at Crossroads then? No, it was before. Pensacola, God poured out His Spirit down in Florida, and people started getting saved. And see, what happens is that with the miraculous, it draws people in to repentance, and people come and get saved. And they see that this is supernatural. This isn't man-made. This isn't theology. This isn't doctrine. This is supernatural. This is why the Pentecostal churches are the fastest-growing churches in the world. Because they believe that what happened then is for now, and that they believe that miracles still can happen. Now, this church, we are a, you know, more than 12, being filled, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God, how much more can we do for God? But we can't be afraid of that stuff. You know what I mean? Some people go like, I'm not comfortable with all that. I just want to come to church and kind of go do my own thing. But the thing is, if we really want to believe that God is going to change this community, it's going to be supernatural. It's not going to be head knowledge. It's not going to be teaching them the do's and don'ts and of Christianity, because the Holy Spirit is there to do that. It's going to be the empowerment and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which will signs and wonders will come, miracles will happen, God will reveal himself and make this a beacon of hope in this community. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could ever possibly have the ability to even come up and speak without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. But I don't know about you. I hope that through some of these scriptures today that it's encouraged you and it's motivated you and inspired you to say, I want that today. Now, how many want that today? How many want that? Okay. So we're going to have Leighton. Is he already back there? He's going to come and play, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God. You know, they came in together in one accord. We're going to believe together. Those that have already received, I encourage you to pray and be praying in your seat. But we're going to pray that God's going to fill you with a heavenly language, that you're going to have the boldness to be a witness, that God is going to use you in ways that you cannot even imagine God is going to use you. And I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't like it when we start to get like this. Right? Because how many times have you prayed and you get distracted? Distractions of things to do. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, the enemy doesn't know what you're saying. It's one language he doesn't know. It's one language that the devil doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He can't intercept your prayers when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. And I don't want the devil knowing anything that I'm doing. He doesn't need to distract me any more than he already does, especially when I go to prayer. Amen? So today, if that's you, I'd like you to come forward. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to pray. Don't be afraid. We're just family here. Because you know what? I believe, I told Pastor Debbie this the other day. I said, I believe that God... I'm like, you know, we talked about how come we don't see a lot of people in the community coming in? How come we don't see the people that are unchurched? How come we're just seeing people who've already always been to church? And that's not what we're here for, people. We're not here to just be a country club for church people. We're here to reach the unsaved people in this community. We're here to reach your family and your loved ones and your coworkers. But we need to be on fire. We need to be doing the things that they did in the Bible. We need to be seeing miracles. That will draw people to Jesus. We're not drawing people to a church or to a building or to an organization. We want to draw them to Jesus and allow them to go and do the work that Christ called us to do. So if you're one of those people and you raise your hands, I'm just going to ask you to just come up here and just face that way. And Leighton's going to lead out in a song. We're going to pray for you. So if that's you, come on up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. I don't know about you, but I feel good. Do you feel good? I hope you feel better having been here than before you came in this morning, and that God has met you here today. Hallelujah. Well, let me pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you truly are beautiful and glorious. We are filled with wonder and praise, God, of all the things that you continue to do in and through our lives. God, I pray for those that were praying for the Spirit baptism today, oh God, that if tongues were not released today, God, that you would continue to inspire them to praise your mighty name as they go home and everything that they're doing, oh Lord, and that you would meet them there in their homes, oh God. And we know that you are the giver of the gift. And as we pray in expectation, God, that you've given the gift, now we just need to release it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, God. Bless your people, God, this week. Protect them, cover them. Meet them in their need, God, whatever that might be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.